Grimes. Very much appreciate that. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, if you'd please turn with me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And you know what? God has given to us so much. That's really what we're going to be looking at this morning in the first point. God has given to us so much. John chapter 16, we're in the gospel. We are slowly creeping towards that time of Jesus Christ going to the cross. We are here just moments before he's going to be delivered in front of Judas and the rest of the mob that comes to take him up. Jesus has given his time to his disciples. He has spent time with them, and now he's just given them his last few hours and just giving them his heart. Our series that we've been going through for a long time is The Heart of Christ. And what a heart it is, a big heart for his people. Folks, understand it wasn't just for these 11, it's for you and for me. Jesus Christ's heart is big, it's big. And this morning I want to introduce you more to Jesus Christ's heart and his love for us. We're in John chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verse 12, just one verse this morning as we continue on through this night that Jesus spends with his disciples. He's, again, taken them through a lot, and it's a scary time for these disciples. They're scared. They don't know what's going to happen. There's so many things that they don't know of what's going to happen. They've heard that some horrible things are going to happen. Jesus says, you know, that I'm going to leave you. I'm going to be crucified, but I want you to go out and do my work. I want you to make more disciples. I want you to bring them back. I want that fruit to remain. When you go out, they're going to persecute you. They're going to hate you. They're going to give you a lot. We praise the Lord for the Comforter that has come to judge the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And we can count on it. The Holy Spirit is going to do his job in the hearts and lives of the people of the world. He's going to show them their unbelief. He's going to show them that their ways of righteousness are wrong. He's going to show them that the impending judgment is about to come. You know, people have a decision of what they're going to do with Christ. The world has a decision of what we need, of what they're going to do with Christ, and we need to tell them of what they need. We need to tell them the truth about these things. It's Jesus Christ is going to be the answer, and we've got to get that gospel message to them. That brings us to verse 12. As Jesus is speaking to these disciples, they have made their way from the upper room. They are making their way down to the Kidron Valley, crossing the Brook Kidron, and on their way up to the Mount of Olives for a short time of prayer, and then a time of deliverance to be crucified. As they go, Jesus is going to speak to them. Chapter 16 again, and I want you to notice verse 12. He just gets them telling about what the Holy Spirit is going to do, and then he gives them verse 12. Notice what he says. He says to these 11 disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. I have many things, have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. You ever returned from an adventurous trip, maybe, that you took, maybe a vacation, and there were people that, you know, were at home, family, or maybe friends at church, people, co-workers, that you wanted to share. You went out and you went and did this great stuff. You were gone for a week or two or three or whatever the case was, and you had a bunch of adventure, and you get back and you're ready to tell them about what has taken place on this trip. And you know, you get in late at night and you want to tell them. I know for us sometimes, and it's very rare that Melissa and I would get away alone. It had been quite a long time since we'd been able to really spend a lot of time. We went for anniversary for what was it, a day or something like that. But you get away, and I know our children like to hear what's going on. They do the same thing with camp. They go to camp, and they come home, and I'll tell you what, there's not enough time to hear all the facts, all the things that take place. And we hear about camp from, you know, the end of camp until the start of the next one. We just hear about the different details. It's starting to die down a little bit. But they give us all the details. Well, we played this game, and you got to hear all the rules. You got to hear all the things, and this kid did this, and then they did that, and then we said this verse, and we had to do this, and we went here, and you hear all the details. We go on vacation. You come back, and you know, you get back, and there's not enough time to tell all these things, and you have to say, you know what? There's too many things to say. I got to wait and give them to you. You know, a teacher that's taking he or she in first class, and you get there in class, and you know, a real teacher is excited to get into the subject and to share with them what's on their heart, what's on their mind. You know, a real teacher wants these students to learn what is about to be given. You know, for me, I wouldn't necessarily know, you know, and have that burden to make sure that they know this, you know, these rules in English or language or these facts in history or this way to multiply and divide. But for me, you know, there's this excitement to get into a class and teach somebody the Word of God. But you know, you can't do it all in one class. It takes longer time to expound upon all the things that you have to say. You know, as you raise children, you want to be able to get them to where they can listen and they can understand what you're saying. You want to be able to give them everything that you have learned up until this very day of what you're learning. And you want to give them everything. But, you know, it doesn't really work that way. It takes time for them to be able to get everything that you want to give them. You know, as we look down here at John chapter 16 and verse 12, I want you to see the very first thing that Trevor and Ashley sang about. And that is that God, He has offered, Jesus Christ has offered us so many things. You know, He says here, I have yet many things to say unto you. You know, Jesus Christ had so many things to give these disciples. I have so many things to say, but I don't have time right now. You cannot even bear what I have for you. You know what God has given to us? He's offered us so many things. I want you to consider the name of God that is El. El is the word for God. We look at the compound name, we have El, and then you fill in the blank, there's many L's that there are. And what I want you to focus on this morning, just for a few moments, is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. What is the name El Shaddai? Well, El Shaddai, even in the meaning of El Shaddai, there's a compound meaning of that. The first definition that we could look at is Lord God Almighty. He is Lord God Almighty, but I want you to take note of the second meaning to that. It's Lord God Almighty, and it's that He's sufficient to meet the needs of His people. He's adequately and completely sufficient to meet our needs. That's the name El Shaddai. You know, His name tells us that He offers us so much. Every single possible thing that we will need, God supplies that for us. Just as a mother supplies everything that young child, that baby needs, and that baby needs that mother, we are just like those babies. We need El Shaddai. We need the one who is sufficient for every single thing. And yet we see here that He's offered us so many. He tells the disciples, I have so many things to tell you. That's El Shaddai. We see His words. He says, I have so many things to say. We see it in His name. We see it in His words. You know, the scriptures. Much was said. Did Jesus Christ, did God record for us everything that He said? Turn with me to the book of John chapter 21. Last week, when we were reading through the Lord's table, and I love that. We were reading through that. We came to this verse in chapter 21. I want you to look at John chapter 21. Look at verses 24 and 25. What did John record for us? He says in John 21, 24 and 25, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things. That's John. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. God had given so much. And yet there was so much more to give. And Jesus Christ here tells these disciples, I have given you much, but I have so much more to give. Folks, I want to know that God has much to give to us. God gives us so many things. God has offered us His name. He's offered us His words. 2 Timothy chapter 3, turn there and look at verse 16. The very first word, the very first two words are so important for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Every person should have this foundational passage memorized, because it is the authority by which we get that our scriptures are everything for us. What are the first two words? 2 Timothy 3:16. Everybody together. All scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And why? Why does God give us everything in His Word that's good for everything in life? That the man of God may be perfect, that's spiritually matured, thoroughly furnished, adequately given everything he needs, unto all good works. For every good thing that God wants us to do, He's given to us His Word so that we can accomplish that. He's given to us everything. That means He's left nothing out. Folks, I want you to understand that God has given to us so many things in life. God has given to us His Word. He's completely and adequately, I like to put it this way, I heard a preacher a long time ago say it this way, He's adequately packed our bags for the journey of life. He's adequately put everything in there that we are going to need. Some of you husbands and wives, you go on a journey. Some of you husbands, you men, you pack your bags because you don't trust your wife. Okay, we laugh on that. Okay, you better laugh because, you know, you're going to get a jab in the ribs here really quick. Some of you say, no, I'm going to pack my bags. Why? Because you want to make sure that everything that you think that you need is going to be in there. You don't trust your wife. Now, can you semi-trust? Not really. I semi-trust my wife. That's no trust at all. I'm not good, all right? I ought to trust my wife more. But you know what? Most of the time, it's not necessarily an issue of trust. It's just whoever has the time to pack those bags. But I'll tell you what, when I don't pack my bags, you can mark it down. The first 2 minutes of our journey, I'm thinking, I hope everything's in there that I need. Okay, I hope it's all there. Oh, I would hate to get a 10 miles down the road, an hour down the road, and realize that some necessity was left behind. You know, I want to tell you something. We have a journey of life, and God has packed the bags for this journey. And you know, He thought of everything that we're going to need. He thought of every single possibility of what we're going to do and where we're going to go for His mission for us and what we're supposed to do. And I'll tell you something, we can trust Him because He's adequately packed it. He says, all Scripture, everything in here is good enough for every single circumstance in life that you're going to go through. Folks, that's what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. All Scripture is given by inspiration. It means God breathed it right into that bag. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. That word profitable, it doesn't mean that it's just good enough. No, it's adequately prepared. It is there. Everything that you need, and that's all of Scripture. Folks, I want to tell you something. God gave us His Word, and He gave it to us completely. God has much to offer to us. Are you thankful for His Word? God has given to us His Word. And many of His words. No, we didn't get every word that He said. But I want to tell you something. Whatever words we do have, what does that mean? We need them. Again, John tells us he didn't record every one of God's words, every one of Jesus Christ's words. Jesus Christ did speak, and we don't know what He spoke on everything. But He chose specific words to put in this book. Why? 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us why. And what is that reason? Because I'm going to need it. I'm going to need this item. I'm going to be involved in this situation. I'm going to need it. Folks, every single thing in the bag we need. We're not free to pick and choose as we go through this bag. And I'm not being irreverent when I say this bag, this book. When we go through this, I need every part of it. I need every ounce of it. He says all of it is profitable. There is no place that's not profitable for doctrine. There is no place that's not profitable for reproof. There is no place that's not profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness. No, he wants us to be the adequately prepared that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He wants to give you everything, but I want to tell you something. If he's given to us everything in his word, he's packed our bags in this word, that means we need to know God's word. We need to be familiar with everything that's in there so we can accomplish his task. We better get to know and pay attention to everything that is in this bag. You know, he's given us his name. He said, I'm available. I have so much to offer you. I've given you your word. I have everything available for you. He gave us his works as well. His works, his life circumstances, all of life's needs, everything that he has given to us that are apart even from scriptures, God has given to us. Turn to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 5 tells us so well. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 5. He says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Folks, let me ask you a question. Are you thankful for God's works? God has given to us not only his name, he's given to us his words. He's given to us his works that we can look at and say, wow, God is good and it's everything that I need. He's given to us his wonderful works. He says, the psalmist says, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. You know, when Jesus Christ told those disciples, I've given you much, and I even have more, we need to see that God has offered so much to us. So much he has offered to us. Philippians chapter 4:19, we just read it in the right context of our giving. But my God shall supply how many of your needs? Everyone. Every single one of those needs, all your needs. 2 Corinthians 9:8-11, and God is to make all grace abound toward you. We just went over. All, having all sufficiency in all things. Later in verse 11, things to all, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. What are two words in James chapter 1, verse 17? That's the verse that talks about good and perfect gifts. There are two words that are bold in my notes. How many good gifts? Yeah. And he uses the word every good gift and every perfect gift. You know, God has given to us so much. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And we know that all things work together for good. You know, God has given to us so much. You know, for Christmas, we have Christmas coming up, and children ask for presents, and adults ask for certain things, and we have all of our needs. But folks, you never get all your needs. You can never get everything that you could possibly use. You know, well, I need this and this. And truth be told, if we all made an honest assessment of what we wanted for Christmas, it would be a mile long. You know, I want this, I need this, I need this, and I need that, I need this, and I need this. You know, you could possibly never get that. But you know, understand that God gives us so much. He does give us everything we need. You know, my children can make a list a mile long, and I couldn't get it for them. You can mark it down. God gives you everything you need. And by the way, as you sit here this morning, you have everything you need. Everything. Everything that you possibly need. Right now, God's given to it. Now, there's a reason why we stress this for the next 2 points. God has given to us everything, right? He's given to us all things. He's given us all that we need. I want you to understand, God is not stingy. Sometimes we get the idea that God is, why is God holding out to provide for this? Why is God holding back? I want to tell you something. It's because we're not ready for it. And that's what we're going to get to here in just a moment. God's not holding out anything to you. God is not a stingy God. God, would you please give me? No, that ought not to be it. God, thank you for all that you've given to me. Every time that we start thinking that we don't have much, it ought to bring us to our knees and say, God, you have given to us so much. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Don't think that God is a stingy God. Let's not focus on what we don't get and how we have been shorted. It's time to realize and be thankful for all that God has given. Now, to these disciples, he says, I've given you much and I have much more to give you. You know, they could be very thankful for these last few hours that Jesus Christ has given to them so many things. I'll tell you what, they needed what he was going to give them. They needed to see his heart. And folks, the heart of Christ is that he gives us everything that we need. But I want you to go into the second thing. You know, as we look at this verse, John chapter 16, and we look at verse 12, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, and we ought to be thankful for all the things that he said, all the things that he's done, all the things that he's given. But notice he goes on. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You know, he knows, number two, he knows us perfectly, exactly what we need. He does give us many things, but he knows us perfectly. And every one of us is different in what we need and what we need to use. Just because your neighbor has it doesn't mean that you need it. Just because your relative, you know, is going through this doesn't mean that you've got to go through that very thing. God is specifically involved in your life. He knows exactly what you need. And he knew about the disciples. He knew what they needed. He knew what they didn't need. And he knew when they needed it. Why they needed it. God knows exactly what we need. You know, he knew their physical weakness. And right now, probably going, leading up to the cross, and they're staying awake with him all night long. He knew their physical weakness. He knew that they were going to get tired. He knew they were going to get hungry. He knew they were going to get tempted in the flesh. But Jesus Christ knew that. He knew their mental weakness. I want to tell you something. These men probably went through a lot of mental weakness during this time of doubt and fear. Mentally, they were probably at the end of their rope. He knew that. He knew their emotions and their affections and the weakness. Jesus, you're going to leave us. You just came to us. I just left everything. I turned away from all of my lifestyle and I'm following you. And now you're leaving. He knew all of those things about them. He knew exactly what they needed. He knew them and he knows us also very well. Folks, I want to tell you something. God knows you. God knows you. God knows specifically, you know, I struggle when people say, you just don't understand. And that may be true, but I want to tell you something. God does understand. God understands everything that you're going through. He knows you. The best place to go, I think, in the Word of God is Psalm 139. Go there quickly. Yes, you know, many of you know, that's one of my favorite places to go. Oh, it tells me how much he knows me. Psalm 139 tells us about that knowledge, his knowledge. As you're looking at Psalm 139, it's kind of divided up into groups of sections of six verses. Psalm 139. As you look at the first six verses, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my past and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue. Below, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset behind me and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. The first six verses tell us about his knowledge of us. His next six verses tell us about his presence with us. God is with us everywhere we go. And I'll not read those verses. He says in verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? And what's the answer? You can't go anywhere. There is nowhere. God knows everything about me. He's everywhere I go. We see in the next set of verses, not only does he know me, not only does he everywhere I go, but he also made me. He made me. He says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. He says in verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curious wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now you notice the three things that are given there. He understands and knows everything about me. He's with me everywhere I go. In fact, he was the one that made me. And then notice what he says in verses 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Folks, I want to tell you something. God knows us perfectly. He knows exactly what we need in life. And you know, if God gave it, then guess what? It's what you specifically needed. Now, we've got to get to the ground level application to this. If God knows me and he gave it to me, he knows that I need it. And God is a good God and he gives us so many things. We're thankful for it. God knows exactly what you need. And we need to stop and start thinking and thanking God about that. You know what? He knows our weakness. He knows our strengths. He knows our thoughts. He knows our values. He knows our troubles. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans 11, 33. I think of the old song, Negro spiritual, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows my sorrows. Nobody knows. And what's the answer that's given in the song? Nobody knows but, folks, Jesus does know. He does know what you need. Doesn't anybody out there understand what I need? Doesn't anybody know, care? I want to tell you something. There is one that cares. He knows what you're going through perfectly, individually. He knows us so perfectly well. And therefore, he knows exactly everything that we need. I stressed James chapter 1 and verse 17 just a moment ago. And we stressed every two times, every good and every perfect gift. I stressed two different words this time. It's every good gift and every perfect gift. Do you know that everything that God gives us is good and perfect? You say, how could that cancer that he gave me be good and perfect? Folks, it is. It's exactly what you need. See, God knows what it takes for me to walk with him. God knows. I was talking recently to my father-in-law, was sharing somebody that he went and saw in prison that no one can know except God and him, but he thinks is innocent, and he's there in prison going through a difficult time. Can you imagine being put in prison for years and years and years and years and years for doing something that you didn't do? You think it'd be a difficult thing? I can't imagine it. And all the things that come along with being in prison. Folks, if you've never been there, and I've never been there, but I hear it's a pretty rough place to be. You know, this gentleman's going through this thing, you know, and I'm not the judge, so I don't know. But assuming that this guy is innocent, be a tough thing, tough road to hope. But you know, the words that this man told my father-in-law when he went to visit him and said, you know what, this has been the very best thing that could have ever happened to me in my life. I want to tell you something. There's somebody that understands that God uses everything and every gift that he gives is good and perfect. You know what this does? It takes the questioning out of our lives. And why did this happen? Because God is good. And God wants to give his very best to you. And he is giving you his best. It's time that we start acknowledging that best. And it's time we start thanking him and praising him for what he is doing. All those good and perfect gifts. As things in life come our way, we must accept them as perfect. The very best that God has to offer. My brethren, James says, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And he says, know this. And here's why. Count it joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, God is trying to make you into a patient person. And why would he make me more patient? He tells us, he goes on, let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect, but spiritually matured, that you may be perfect and entire, complete, wanting, lacking in nothing. You know, if I ask you the question, how many of you want to be spiritually matured in the things of the Lord? My guess is that most, if not all of you, would raise your hand. You know, many of us don't want to take the trials and the tribulations that come into our life that God uses to get us there. But folks, that's what we need to be thankful for. We need to be thankful for that. And so here in the book of John, he's telling these disciples, he says, Jesus says, I have many things to say. God has so many things for them, so many good things. But he says, ye cannot bear them. He knew those disciples and he knows us. But I want you to see lastly, and it'll all come together, number three, he will not give us more than we can handle. God's not going to overdo it. God's not going to give you too much. He says, but ye cannot bear them now. Why couldn't he tell the disciples everything? There's no way they could handle it. If they found out their destination, they would have just collapsed. They would have said, no way. If he would have looked at Peter and said, Peter, you're going to have this happen to you. If he would have looked at Andrew and said, look what's going to happen to you. If he would have looked at all those individual ones, they would have stopped in their tracks. You know what? So many of us wish that we knew the future. I tell you what. I don't want to know the future. Because tomorrow I might get in a pretty bad car accident and I might die. What would be the next 24 hours of my life? What would it be like? It'd be a big struggle. You know what? I don't know. And it's a good thing we don't know. And it's a good thing that we don't know everything. But you know one thing? God is not going to give you anything that's too difficult. God is not going to allow something to happen and just swallow you up and overcome you. And so he tells him, you cannot bear it now, so I'm not going to give it to you now. So he didn't give it to them. He didn't give it to them yet. He wanted to wait until they were ready. You know, God waits until we're ready for certain things. Some of us aren't going through certain things because we're not ready for it. Some of us are going through things because we're ready. I guess God thought we were ready for it. But I want to draw your attention to some verses that are so powerful here about God not giving us more than we can handle. You say, I'm going through this and I can't bear it. This is too difficult. I don't know how to make it through. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, listen to this, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Not to lift anybody up in pride. Listen, if you're going through it, God is going to be there for your strength because his grace is sufficient. His grace is overcoming. John 16:33. You're there in John chapter 16. Look down at verse 33. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What's the answer to it all, folks? And as I look across the crowd, I see people with different needs. I see it. And as I look across, what is God's answer? Be of good cheer. What? I have overcome the world. Listen, he's already won the victory over what you're going through. He's already victorious over it. Who is he? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The writer of Romans says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. By the way, he covered it all. Shall be able to separate you to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ye are of little children and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the answer. You have him. He has given you his heart. You see, these disciples, you know, he had given to them so much, and he would give them everything. He knew them to a T. He knew exactly what they needed individually, and he would not give them more than what they could handle. He wouldn't do it. And when they would have to go through it, I want to tell you, when one of those men would be strung up on a cross, he would make sure that they had more grace to overcome the defeat that was on that cross. He would make sure that it was over and above. Because he said, as Paul writes, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, this is his conclusion, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Folks, in application, as you're going through your situations, the conclusion is that God obviously has given you the strength to overcome. And you, listen to this, you are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. You're an overcomer. You know what? That death that you recently went through, listen, you can be an overcomer. That cancer that you were recently diagnosed with, you're an overcomer. That situation at work, you can be an overcomer. That situation in the home life, you can be an overcomer, because God has given to us himself, and he has given to us that victory. And here he's given these disciples. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. He knows when we need these things. One writer put it this way, and I close. Listen to these words. He put it well. When some crushing trouble befalls us, he who only spoke as they were able to bear will not permit the flame to be hotter, the tide stronger, or the task more trying than we have strength for. We often do not know our strength, nor the power of his grace. Sorrow may be sent to reveal us to ourselves and show how much spiritual energy we have been silently acquiring. Do not therefore run to and fro and say, it is too much, I cannot bear it. But know and be sure that Christ has ascertained your resources and is sure of your ability before he permits the extreme ordeal to overtake you. Dare to say with the apostle, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Folks, I don't know what you're going through. I know the disciples were going through much right now. They were about to fold, but he said, you know what? Now is not the time yet. I've got so many good things for you. Folks, has he given to us much? Yes. He knows you perfectly. And he will not give you more than the grace he has already provided. And in his strength, you can go through and do all things through Christ. And what will it do for you? Strengthen you. It will strengthen you. We see the wonderful heart of Christ coming to you. Father, I thank you for your good, good heart. Your heart that has come to each one of us. To your disciples that were struggling, to some of us who are struggling. God, I thank you. I thank you for leading us. You know which way to turn, which way to go. You know us. You know what we can handle, what we can't. And we're assured that you'll never give us too much. God, that is so comforting to me, because I know that I'm not going to be consumed. Because your mercies fail not. Thank you. Thank you for that tremendous love you have demonstrated to us today through your good word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.